Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A happy Wednesday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. I'm your host, PJ Glass. We got a great show for you guys coming up today. Chris Level going to join us here in moments to preview the big one in Salt Lake City this weekend between Utah and Texas Tech. We'll also dive in some of the other college games I like on the board this week. Who's the favorite that I like? The underdog, the over, the under. We'll look at half of the games on the NFL slate for week three. Dive into some of the 1 p.m. Eastern time kickoffs for week three. Chase Kitty going to join us later on coming up in the show. And then we'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays of the day. As always, any questions, comments, best bets that you guys have for us, let us know at the BetMGM Network on Twitch, YouTube, or our live stream on X. And if you guys miss any part of the show today, make sure you check out the Send It In podcast, which is available wherever you get your podcasts. Let's get rolling on a Wednesday. Glass is in session. We go to the Glasser guest line. Check in with Chris Level, who joins us. Give Chris a follow on X at Chris Level, publisher for RedRaiderSports.com and host of the Locked On Tech podcast as well. Chris, great having you back on the show, man. And when the season started, we were previewing this Texas Tech game. We certainly circled this matchup against Utah on the schedule. We knew it would be a big one. Now that we're here, 4 weeks into the season, what would be your storylines going into this matchup on Saturday?
It is a big one, and thanks for having me, PJ. But it's funny because I really don't know how much we know about these two teams. We think they're pretty good, and they probably are, but we don't know, are they elite or are they just middle of the pack Big 12 teams? I go back to last year. Utah played in a similar game in September last year in Stillwater, Oklahoma. That was a top 15 matchup between those two teams, and they would end up finishing second to last and dead last in the league. I also am reminded that Arizona State came to Lubbock in the first conference game for Texas Tech and Arizona State last year. Texas Tech won that game, and Arizona State was the one that went all the way to Arlington and won the conference championship. So we're in for a long season. This is the beginning of it, but these two teams are very good, and they're very good up front, which is why I think they have some staying power, and that's really where the main storyline is who wins the matchup with their elite offensive line and what a lot of people think is an elite defensive line for Texas Tech.
Overall, how impressed have you been with the Texas Tech roster? Because Chris, obviously coming into the season, that was the big talking point. Number one transfer portal in the offseason. This defensive line was supposed to be really, really good. How do you feel like they have been so far living up to expectations and just the rest of the roster as a whole?
Yeah, well, it's been very impressive because the first team defense hasn't allowed a point to be scored on them yet through first half of the first game, first half of the second game, and through three quarters of the third game. But these have been, call it what it is, glorified scrimmages in many ways. So the competition ramps up big time this weekend in Salt Lake City. But it does look the part. The depth is there, the talent is there, but this will be a different test, and I'm fascinated to see how how they handle it. And is it elite? Is it just good? I mean, and there's differences there, the levels to this. But I think Baron Morton has been a storyline early on as well. I mean, he threw for close to 500 yards last week versus Oregon State in basically just about three quarters of action. He's got 11 touchdown to one interception kind of ratio thing going there. And so, but Devin Dampier for Utah has certainly been very, very good and elusive and been the playmaker that they had hoped to add as well. So which quarterback plays best on Saturday could go a long way in determining this one.
Chris, when we had you back in the summer, it was the day after we got the news that Quinton Joyner, the running back for Texas Tech, had tore his ACL. Obviously a huge loss. How do you think they have replaced his production so far? And going into this matchup against Utah, who would be the guy or two that you think Joey McGuire and company really lean on in this game?
It's a great question. I do think that question remains in that, can you run it when you want to? When the game dictates it, it's short yardage, you just need it, or you need to put a game away. Can you run it when you want to? And I don't know if we know the answer to that. And I have my questions and concerns about that. I think that's very fair with the loss of Quinton Joyner. It's looked mostly good to this point. There's been a few times where you go, okay, see, this is what we're talking about. I do think that Will Hammond, the backup QB, I think they may use him like Texas did with Arch Manning last year. He may be that curveball, short yardage or red zone guy that he's the quarterback with the backup quarterback with elusive tendencies with his legs, and he's more of the runner and things like that. They trust him to throw it too, but that's a new wrinkle that we may start to see more of. But as far as you're going to lean on your quarterback, and then I think you're going to lean on your middle linebacker on defense. I mean, it's Baron Morton, and with all the transfer talk, Baron Morton and Jacob Rodriguez will largely decide this game for Texas Tech. And Jacob Rodriguez, the Big 12 defensive preseason player of the year, and rightfully so. He's smart. He's old. He's just I think a next level going to play in the NFL type of linebacker. And those guys are probably who you're leaning on the most.
We're talking with Chris Level here on Send It In, previewing the big one from Salt Lake City on Saturday between Texas Tech and Utah, a top 20 matchup. Chris, another interesting wrinkle to this game, and we were talking about it a little bit before we hopped on air, was the fact that this is a 10 a.m. local kick mountain time in Salt Lake City, right? So it'll be 11 a.m. for Texas Tech, Central Time, 12 Eastern noon Eastern kick. Do you think there's an advantage for either team? And, like, is Joey McGuire, have they been prepping a little differently? Have they been practicing earlier? Have the kids been waking up earlier? Like, have they been doing anything different to prep for this game? And do you think there's an advantage for either side?
Well, early morning kicks or 11 a.m., which is what it'll be to Texas Tech's body clock. We always hear that term when it comes to college football and the selection committee and all those things. It'll be 11 a.m. to them. They actually practice early most of fall camp. This is part of their weekly routine where they have like a 6 a.m. practice every Friday morning and things like that. So it's probably slight advantage to Texas Tech because it's early and not a nighttime kick, just because it doesn't matter where you are. The environments are just different in these early morning kicks versus nighttime, when everybody's got a chance to get revved up and enjoy their favorite beverage or 10 of them, and that's just that's a different vibe. I do think it'll be a tough place to play. I don't dispute that at all. But it's just not going to be the same as it would be if this was a 6 or 7 o'clock kick at night there in Salt Lake City.
Do you think these are the two best teams in the Big 12? I know earlier you said we really haven't seen them yet against elite competition. This game, we're obviously going to find out a lot. I know Iowa State's had some good performances. Baylor had a nice win against SMU. Do you think, as of right now, Chris, that these are the top teams for you, though, in the Big 12?
They have staying power because they're better up front than most teams. And that will last. I think there's depth there. There's talent there up front. And that's a bit abnormal in this league. I'm not ready to say that they're better than Iowa State, though. To this point, Iowa State's proven more. They've gone on the road and they've done it. They've had the tricky game. They've had the out-of-the-country game. They're 1-0 in the conference. I do think that Texas Tech and Utah both belong in that upper tier to this point. And, you know, I think TCU, I think BYU, you know, Arizona State. I mean, this is maybe we're starting to see some tiers of contender versus, you know, okay, it's not going to look good so far. But I do think these are two of the teams amongst the top four or five, it looks like right now. But one team really handles the other on Saturday, and we're going to feel very differently about that. If this is a double-digit win by either team, we may have our doubts about the loser of that game. Again, as I said at the very beginning, it's very early, but yeah. I think because of what you have up front, I think that you've got some staying power with these two.
Should be a great one, Chris. Come right down to the wire. Who do you think ends up winning the game on Saturday?
Well, I mean, I can't not say the Red Raiders, right? That would be sacrilege from where I'm sitting talking to you from Lubbock, Texas right now. I think this would be a one-score game. I think like 45% of Big 12 games last year came down to a one-score game. It's worth noting that Utah's kicker was 1 of 4 last weekend. So if it is a one-score game, it'll be fascinating because you got two new play callers on offense. And again, this is the first real test for a lot of these folks, but if it is a close game, I mean, I like the Red Raiders' kicking situation better than Utah's, but I guess we'll see who's right.
So many times these games do come down to special teams, so great note there. Chris Level, kind enough to join us here on Send It In. Give him a follow on X at Chris Level, publisher for RedRaidersSports.com and a host on Locked On Tech Podcast as well. Chris, have a great time this weekend, man. Enjoy the game. Hope to talk to you again soon.
Hey, keep hope alive, PJ. Appreciate you having me on, sir.
All right, great stuff there from Chris Level, guys. Let's keep it rolling here on Send It In. College football week 4, NFL week 3 slate as well. So as always, any questions that you guys have, college football, NFL, type them into the chat at the BetMGM Network. Love to hear what you guys are betting, what games you're interested in. We'll start with the favorite that I like the best right now in week 4 of college football. That's going to be Oklahoma, -6.5 against Auburn. I think Auburn could be a trap this week, plus the points. A lot of people are probably going to compare the Oklahoma-Michigan game to this game. And they're going to say, okay, well, Oklahoma was a 5.5-point favorite against Michigan, and now they're a 6.5-point favorite against Auburn, and that doesn't really make much sense. The eye test would tell you Auburn, probably a better team than Michigan. Auburn has a better coach in Hugh Freeze. They have a more experienced quarterback in Jackson Arnold, who's playing against his former team and his former coaching staff at OU. But I think if you look back at Auburn's game against Baylor, what really stood out was how effective they were running the football. For as great as their wide receivers are, and they got two studs in Cam Coleman and Eric Singleton, they really didn't get those guys going and involved as much as probably a lot of us thought they would going into that game. The difference was their ability to run the ball and Jackson Arnold's ability to run the ball. And they're just not going to be able to do that against Oklahoma. So I'm looking at this game, and it's going to be one of those games. Can Jackson Arnold beat Oklahoma from the pocket? If he can, I'm probably going to lose this bet, and Auburn's got a chance of winning outright. But if he doesn't, then the Sooners should win this game by a touchdown or more, and they should roll at home. Until Jackson Arnold can prove that to me, that he can do that, and they do have great receivers, they have the capability of doing it, but Hugh Freeze is a coach that wants to run the football. And against Brett Venables' defense, you're just not going to be able to do that. On the other side, they have the Heisman Trophy favorite right now in John Mateer, one of the best quarterbacks in college football. That Oklahoma combo with quarterback and defense is as good as a lot of teams in college football, and it definitely helps them in those big games. So I like Oklahoma -6.5 against Auburn. Underdog that I like the best this week. We gave this number out at 13.5. It's now down to 11.5. Give me South Carolina plus the points against Missouri. I really like this game, anything down to 10. I thought 13.5 was way too high for this matchup. Now we're down to 11.5. I still like the Gamecocks. So we know Lenore Sellers isn't going to play in this matchup for South Carolina. He's still out with the concussion. Luke Doty is going to take over at quarterback, who's a grad student, experienced guy. Even though South Carolina is a new offensive coordinator this season, he's a veteran. And South Carolina knows what they're getting out of Doty. And yes, they got pummeled by Vanderbilt last week, but Doty was thrown into the fire. Sellers got hurt. They were already trailing in that game. Now you come into this week against Missouri, it's a fresh start. It's a clean slate. You're going in with a full week of prep. You're going in with the score 0-0. And more importantly, South Carolina's coming off an embarrassing performance at home. I think Shane Beamer is a very good coach. I think his teams are very resilient. And after that performance against Vandy, playing in a rivalry game this week against Mizzou, I would expect them to bounce back and play really well. And I just don't think Missouri should be favored by like 11.5 points in a game like this. Again, if you're talking about the top teams in the SEC, that's one thing. Team like Missouri favored by this many points, I just don't buy it. I like the Gamecocks plus the points. I'll take the over 55.5 in Clemson and Syracuse on Saturday. The total.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Total on the surface might look a little too high to a lot of people because Clemson's offense this season, and specifically Cade Klubnik, have been very underwhelming. But look at the teams that they've played. LSU has a really good defense. They gave up 10 points to Clemson. DJ Lagway got intercepted 5 times. Florida was only able to score 10 points as well. Then you have a letdown game going up against Troy. The offense gets rolling in the second half. And then Georgia Tech has a good defense as well. They're also an offense that wants to run the ball and chew a lot of clock, so you don't get much opportunity to maybe score and get as many drives as you would in some other games. Against this Syracuse defense, Cade Klubnik and that Clemson offense, especially if Antonio Williams is back, should be able to put up points and should be able to score. This game feels like 45-17 to me, somewhere in that range. So I do like the over 55.5 in Clemson and Syracuse. I also like the under in Nebraska and Michigan. This game, I think, is going to be the first 20. I like under 45.5. We make all these jokes about Big Ten football and these Iowa-Northwestern, Iowa-Nebraska-type games, and it's all about punts and turnovers and three and outs. I think you're going to see a lot of that in this kind of game. No Sherrone Moore still for Michigan. He's serving the suspension. Biff Pogge's going to take over as head coach. And Matt Rhule, year three. These are the games that he tends to win when he's in year three at a program. Raiola's just not quite as far along as I thought he would be this season. And I think about that Nebraska-Cincinnati game and how that was 20-17, and you get a better Michigan defense in this game, and Nebraska being at home, I would expect their defense to play pretty well. I expect the same kind of score. One of those 17-14, 2017 games, I like under in Nebraska and Michigan. And then finally, give me Delaware, the Blue Hens, outright plus 190 against FIU. I like this Delaware team quite a bit, you guys. First year in FBS, they go to Boulder a couple weeks ago, and the score looks a little misleading. Delaware was hanging with Colorado for much of that game, and then last week, they get the upset over UConn as 8.5-point favorites. I like their quarterback, Nick Minucci, a lot. They can put up points, and FIU's coming off a rivalry game against FAU, where they win that. They have a first-year head coach, so I think this is a good spot for Delaware. FIU's going to be one of the most public bet teams of the week. I don't think that spread's going over a touchdown, though, for a reason. I like Delaware plus 190 against FIU. All right, let's get into some of the games. We got week one in the NFL. Thursday night, we'll get into this game more a little bit tomorrow with Bills and Dolphins. Buffalo's a 12.5-point favorite. Total in the game is 49.5. I mean, we know Buffalo's going to win the game. The question is by how much. I really don't have a strong opinion. I don't really have that many thoughts on props either. More so probably Miami, because the Bills continue to have injuries on defense. So maybe some A-chain props, maybe some Tua pass attempt props, those kind of things. But we'll get into more of that game tomorrow. Nothing for me side total right now in Bills and Dolphins. A game I do like on Sunday is going to be the Packers and the Browns. This game gives me a lot of vibes to what we saw a couple years ago. If you guys remember the game between San Francisco and Cleveland. A couple years ago, early on in the season, the Niners looked like they were going undefeated. With that offense, Purdy, McCaffrey, Debo, Ayuk, all these guys, they smashed Dallas at Sunday Night Football at home, and they went on the road against P.J. Walker and the Cleveland Browns as 8.5-point favorites, and they lost that game outright. So let's think about what we've seen out of the Packers so far. Micah Parsons trade, first 2 weeks, look unbelievable. Coming off a primetime game against Washington, people think they're the best team in the NFC. There's something about Cleveland, though, especially for these NFC teams when they have to travel on the road and play the Browns, who have a very good defense, especially at home. And in these types of games, the Browns just have an ability to kind of muck it up and get teams to play to their level. So I think this could be a bad spot for the Packers. They also have Dallas on the road next week, Sunday Night Football. You don't think they're looking ahead to that game with Micah Parsons going back to Dallas. So you have a little bit of a look ahead. Cleveland's an 0-2 team. I know their offensive line against the Packers pass rush could be an issue, but I think this is a low-scoring, ugly game. I would look at the Browns plus the points. I also like the first half under 20.5 in that game as well. Packers haven't given up a touchdown in the first half in the first couple games, and I think the Browns defense in the first half is going to keep it low scoring as well. I also like the Titans at home, plus 3.5 against the Colts. We're going back to the well with Tennessee. Yes, Indianapolis has looked impressive, but they've also been home for the first two games. Now they got to go on the road in a divisional matchup. Cam Ward continues to get better and better with each and every start. And I just think this is a numbers play for me, right? I feel like Indy should be 3, maybe 2.5. You're giving me the 3.5 with the Titans. I'm going to take that in a divisional matchup. So I like the Titans plus the points. Bengals and Vikings, no real strong play in this game. You're obviously going to have two backups with Carson Wentz going up against Jake Browning. I lean Minnesota -3 in this game because I don't really know how much of a downgrade McCarthy is to Carson Wentz at this point. I trust KOC to put together a great game plan. You still have a very good home field advantage there in Minnesota. And also Brian Flores and that defense going up against Browning, who threw 3 interceptions last week against Jacksonville, I think could force some turnovers on that Cincy offense as well. So don't know if it's an official play. Would lean Minnesota -3. I do like the Steelers on the money line against the Patriots on Sunday. For me, this is just kind of a Tomlin spot. Bad loss at home to Seattle. I think they bounce back, take care of business against New England. That Seahawks defense is legit. So Rodgers and that Steeler offense should look much better against New England than they did against Seattle. And I know this Steelers defense is a little concerning, but I think they're going to have their best performance of the season so far against the Patriots. So I do like the Steelers. Eagles-Rams should be a really fun game. I think if we get down to Eagles -3, I'd probably look at laying it with Philly in that game. Couple good stats for you that really don't get talked about enough. Jalen Hurts as a home favorite, 7 points or less, 15-2 against the spread. 5 points or less, 8-0 against the spread. These type games, Hurts and the Eagles, not only do they almost always win, they almost always cover the spread as well. Rams are 9-2 in their last 11 games. Their only 2 losses have come to Eagles. It's a bad matchup for LA, so I would look at the Eagles, especially if we get to -3. Love the Jets on Sunday, +7 against the Bucs. It's official. Tyrod Taylor is going to be out there for New York. I just think the Bucs got banged up in that game against Houston. That was a physical, tough slugfest. Baker Mayfield is not 100%. The Bucs are 2-0. They very easily could be 0-2. And I don't know how much of a downgrade Tyrod is from Justin Fields. So I think the Jets are going to be able to move the ball a little bit. I think the defense gets enough stops. They can keep it close. I like the Jets +7. I'd also take a peek at the over in the game, 44.5. And then Commanders and Raiders, I'm going to stay away. We were waiting to see whether or not Jaden Daniels is going to play on Sunday, but it's a tough spot for the Raiders, who played on Monday night, going up against the Commanders, who played on Thursday. They got to fly across the country. 3.5, I would stay away. We'll see whether or not Jaden plays, and maybe I have a bet, but nothing for me in Raiders and Commanders. All right, let's check in with our guy, Chase Kitty now, graduate of James Madison University. Give him a follow on X at Chase A. Kitty. BetMGM digital content writer. Chase, we're going to let the people know each and every week where you graduated college from, my friend. Have to let them know. Let's talk about some of these matchups we have coming up on Saturday. We have Chris Level on to start the show. I'm excited for this Texas Tech-Utah game. I think these might be the two best teams in the Big 12. I don't know who I like in the game, though. Do you have any idea who you like in Utah-Texas Tech on Saturday?
Yeah, I would say strong lean, but not an official bet on Utah at the number, at current buy point. Texas Tech's actually the number one team, in PFF's NCAA rankings. But how much of it is, I agree with a lot of what Chris said. Like, great at the line of scrimmage, great defensive line. How much of that is who they've played? He said glorified scrimmages. That's absolutely correct. They have played such a weak schedule so far that I've seen like FCS teams and Division II teams rated higher in some of these aggregate rankings, like what Bill Connolly does at ESPN that ranks all 700 and whatever college football teams. It's just not good who they've played. So I think a lot of their market perception is because they have just beaten down on really, really bad teams. I still think there would be a buy there if you were looking at a team that maybe isn't Utah, but Utah is so consistently really good at the line of scrimmage. I just think there has to be maybe a weak market there on the Utah side of it. So that's where I come in. It's a lean. It's not an outright play.
Another game that should be really good on Saturday, Oklahoma and Auburn. Sooners laying 6.5 points at home, Chase. Do you think that's too many?
I think it feels right because Oklahoma is so hot right now in terms of market perception. Like they have sort of the trap number at Temple last week, and they just go there and lay the wood. It's no problem. They beat up on Michigan in a college game day spot. I think there have been a lot of eyeballs on them, and they have balled out and covered a bunch of numbers. And so you're getting a 6.5 when it probably should be closer to 3.5, 4, 4.5. But I think that makes sense. I'd probably be on the Auburn side if you made me bet it, but that's just going to be a game I watch.
Fair enough. Chase, you and I always look for these kind of things, but I think three interesting spots where we maybe have emotional letdowns this week. Tennessee coming off the heartbreaker against Georgia. They're laying about 40 against UAB. Georgia Tech coming off the big win against Clemson. They're laying 23.5 against Temple. And then obviously West Virginia with the incredible win in the backyard brawl against Pitt. They're two touchdown dogs this week against Kansas. So if you were to fade any of those teams off of their emotional wins, losses, what would be the game or two that you would look at this weekend?
Georgia Tech. And that's the answer because I actually have a play on Temple. So that's just a straight up bet that I like. Georgia Tech, Brent Key is awesome as an outright dog. He is not so awesome when he has to cover the number. That's just how his Georgia Tech teams have played. And so on top of the fact that it's now a letdown spot, on top of the fact that you're now overpriced because you just got a big win against Clemson, you jumped up to number 2 in the ACC futures table, now you have to cover a giant number, and that's something you're not necessarily very good at. And oh, by the way, Temple, sneakily, kind of competent this year. Casey Keeler is a lifer in college football. He has made a career out of going to programs that are completely irrelevant and making them into something out of nothing. So I like every angle of the Temple side of this handicap.
Love it. Any other games that you like for week 4 in college football?
Dude, I spit out my Diet Coke when you said you liked Delaware 8 minutes ago because I'm on it too. Delaware
Let's
money.
Go. Hell yeah.
And what are the chances of all the 136 teams in college football and you're going on a show with somebody who also likes Delaware? It is freaky how much we share brain cells. But yeah, I love that game for all the reasons you said. I just think they're better than FIU. I think they're straight up better. And this is FCS transition bias. How many programs do we have to see be pretty competent these days transitioning up, especially the Conference USA teams? I mean, the bottom of Conference USA is basically glorified FCS anyway. So yeah, I think Delaware is just straight up the better team, especially after you get the UConn validation last week. I think there's a lot of garbage worth picking up this week. Southern Miss +3 at Louisiana Tech. That's another one I like outright. Eastern Michigan +2.5 against Louisiana. That number just jumped off the page at me when I saw it. They're really telling you how much they don't like Louisiana with that number, because Eastern Michigan's 0-3 and lost to an FCS program 2 weeks ago. So I like Eastern Michigan there just on the smelly number alone. Carolina UCF is another one, kind of like Delaware FIU, where I don't really know why UCF is a 6.5 point UCF's a mess right now. I get that we were all making fun of Belichick after that Monday night game against TCU, but I don't know. I don't think UCF should be a 7 point favorite against any power program. And I don't care. Take my sharp card if you need to. I'm laying 45.5 with Florida State. I don't care.
I mean, yeah, if you watch Kent State play football, Chase, yeah, I think that's totally fair. Taking the Seminoles. Before he lets you go, got about 30 seconds. Any thoughts on NFL this week? Any games or two that you're looking at?
Dude, I wanted to play. I guess this is a backdoor plug for my my coworker. I was pretty firm on playing the Seahawks in Survivor, even knowing they're going to be the most popular pick. And then I read my buddy Nick Henyon's write-up on why he likes Saints plus 7.5.
Yeah.
He makes a pretty good argument, so I got to think about it now. But I might have some scratch on Saints plus 7.5 this week now.
I think you take the Chiefs this week, Chase. I mean, they're 0-2. If they lose to the Giants and go 0-3, so be it. I know most people will want to save them, but that's my play this week, is on Kansas City. Chase Kitty, give him a follow on X at Chase A. Kitty, BetMGM digital content writer and graduate of James Madison University. Chase, we'll see you next Wednesday, my friend. Let's go Delaware.
Yeah, let's go Blue Hens.
Let's do it. WNBA short game parlay boost token we have to tell you guys about from BetMGM. Lock in for every basket with this WNBA SGP boost token. Use your token on any WNBA SGP and you'll score a bigger payout if your SGP wins. Make it legendary with BetMGM. Download the app today. Please gamble responsibly. All right, you guys, got about 30 seconds left to wrap up the show. B-Mills, see, you got a question, my friend. What do you think of a teaser-type parlay? Cowboys plus 7.5 and the over 43.5. Love the Cowboys in a teaser this week, B-Mills. I think the over should be good, too, teasing it down. But again, I think Cowboys, Chiefs, money line teaser part, that's going to be a bet for me this week, teasing the Cowboys and the Chiefs. That's probably the way that I would go. As for some plays that I like today, Willie Adames is going to be our pick in going streaking against Brandon Faude, 4-for-7 in his career against the D-back starter. Luis Hill, we're going over 15.5 outs for him at plus 105. He's gone over this number in 5 of his last 7 starts. Guardians are going to be my dog of the day, plus 125 against the Tigers. Jack Flaherty has not been good as of late. And then Kevin Gausman has been on fire for Toronto, coming off a complete game, 2-hit shutout the other night against Houston. We're going to take the Blue Jays, minus 125 at Tampa. Thanks again to Chris Level, Chase Kitty, for joining the show today. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.